Welcome back to another episode of the Max Turn Podcast. Kyle Stitch here alongside James Finch. And today we're going to talk about those, well, it's probably more of an off-season move. If you, the GM speak at the deadline is, oh, we kicked some tires, but really our moves were more of off-season moves and then they never happen. But anyways, that's kind of the focus of today's episode. So we just recently did a trade deadline episode recap. So those were players that got moved. This episode is going to be a little bit more forward-looking and maybe talk about some names that were on trade boards for the deadline type of thing. A little bit shorter and sweeter for this one. Appreciate you listening, subscribing. Max Turn Podcast is available pretty much on every single major podcast platform. Follow our content at AFP Analytics on X, formerly Twitter. Got it right in to start an episode again. And none of the things that we're going to necessarily communicate should be taken necessarily as inside information. And with that, I guess we get into it. So the trade deadline seemingly was about to get really spicy. I think it was Thursday night into Friday morning. There were some wild names being kind of thrown out. And Allmark and Dubois were the ones out there. The other name that had been out there in a trade almost seemingly in place was Jacob Markstrom. So Markstrom, Allmark, Dubois were some, there were some spicy rumors out there, some smoke with those. And then the other, so if we're going to talk about Markstrom and Allmark, we probably should also throw in the third star type of goalie or potential star goalie that might be available. And that's one of the Nashville goalies, UC Saros or Askarov, probably UC Saros. So Markstrom, Saros, Allmark, let's start there with also the fact that there were some dots being connected about Allmark and Dubois being kind of traded for each other or a package involving them.
Yeah, so that was something that kind of started just kind of light rumors. It wasn't heavily reported, but with Allmark, it was almost a, if it's the right deal, we'd consider it now as Boston, because Swayman's been playing phenomenally. And Allmark's kind of the clear, he's got 1 year left after this, so he'd be the guy to go. There were some rumors that a deal was very close, enough so that some prominent media members picked up on it and said there was pretty much a deal to send Allmark to the Kings, and it was blocked via no trade, which is very interesting. I think it leads to speculation of what would have gone back to Boston. I think there was somewhat of a consensus that Boston would be looking for help now, which means NHL roster players. Looking at the Kings, you could maybe look at one of the defensemen. I don't know if that would be Matt Roy, if it would be someone like a Jordan Spence. But looking obviously at long-term needs, possibly a center. And that's where I think there was a little speculation about Dubois.
So let me first make sure I say Allmark completely in his right,
yes,
to nix the trade.
Absolutely.
There's lots of reasons that players want to be or don't want to be traded. I would imagine Allmark has a young family that maybe the idea of moving to a team with less of a shot at winning a Stanley Cup midseason just was not appealing to him. That also does not mean that he might not be willing to go to LA in the summer. That, like,
yeah,
there's, so just because that didn't happen now does not mean it can't happen. So getting those kind of clarifications out of the way, he would be a great fit in LA. Like,
oh,
he's,
yeah,
exactly.
Oh yeah.
He might be the idea for the Kings. And as you said, there's roster players that the Kings could easily send out that would make sense for Boston. Again, how much smoke was around Dubois being involved. is interesting, but Boston needs a 1C, a long-term 1C.
Yeah.
Dubois not working real well in L.A. I'm sure L.A. retained salary in that deal, which possibly might not be real appealing to the Kings. I'm not, or maybe that's another part of the reason this ends up more of an off-season move, is Boston could maybe then take Dubois at full salary, which they probably couldn't have done even with sending Allmark out now.
Yeah, so I do want to touch on something, because you mentioned it's absolutely Allmark's right. Something that was reported, I don't remember the reporter, someone that covers the Vancouver Canucks, who had been talking with Lindholm, who Calgary traded there. Lindholm basically mentioned how the transition can be a little tough. Supposedly, he's been living out of a hotel and hasn't seen his family in a month. I think it's important to remember that players are actual people, too, and not just players on your favorite team that get traded. Ullmark very well could have just not wanted to go completely across the country and not see his family for a while or so. Like, that's a very reasonable thing. And that's pure speculation, but it's just something to remember when players are in rumors and getting traded.
I have a great story about a player getting traded and living out of a hotel, but I don't know if I feel comfortable sharing that here, because yeah, I think you would be able to figure out pretty easily who the player I'm talking about is. But let's just say I have a great story about a deadline, and it is about a deadline trade, and what you said is absolutely true. Like, yeah, it's a short term situation, and yeah, moving your family cross country, and especially even further away from his home, like where he considers home in Sweden.
Yeah,
that just might not have been appealing. Maybe this summer it could be, but maybe not. Again, fully in his right. He negotiated that into his contract. Bruins fans should not be upset. Kings fans should not be upset if that was nixed. But yeah,
it'll for sure be. Because this happened and was reported, it will be speculated about going into the off season for sure. Is there a possibility it gets done over the summer? It's a good match trade-wise between the teams.
It absolutely is a good match. And then let's another trade that supposedly was a level of hinging on a no trade clause, Jacob Markstrom to New Jersey. It seemed like Markstrom had agreed to go, but then the trade didn't materialize, and now Markstrom's unhappy. So what could be kind of funny is through all this is maybe Allmark ends up in New Jersey, less of a move. Maybe Markstrom down to L.A., again, slightly less of a move. He's been on the West Coast for a long time at this point. So maybe the two goalies end up in slightly different situations because of all this, but Markstrom to the Devils was a deal that had a lot of smoke around it and probably should have happened.
It seemed like it was pretty much done, and at least the way this was reported, it sounded like it was on the finish line. New Jersey said, you know what, we need this retention to happen on the deal. Calgary was like, no. So the deal went away. Markstrom's not thrilled. Supposedly now New Jersey's fine without retention. But in that time period of the deal falling through, supposedly Calgary says, well, we'll just keep him. Weird situation, so I don't know if that's actually how it fully played out, if that's the full truth or not. Real quick, just from the Flames standpoint, Markstrom's 34 years old. Under contract for two more seasons after this at $6 million, now was the time to trade him. And there were rumors of some interesting players and pieces being sent away from New Jersey. There were rumors of Dawson Mercer, rumors of Holtz, so like good young pieces. This was a deal to get done now. Should be fine in the offseason, but how terrible would it be if he gets hurt, if the season just goes downhill from now on? that's a deal to make now.
Yeah, that should have happened. The Calgary gang hung up on a little salary retention and not getting an elite young forward potentially not getting an elite young forward prospect is just it. We went in on them in our trade deadline episode when we talked about like the return on Hanifin, but like this is just bad management.
It also came out again. Reported, we don't know if this is the full truth, but that the team wanted, or like management wanted, to send a message to the team that like we're still trying, we're still going to be good. You traded Lindholm, you traded Tanev, you traded Hanifin, and now you're keeping a goalie who had since made it known that he was not happy with how this went down or how this was handled. I don't think sending the right message to the team is really something that actually occurred here. I think, if anything, it might have been the wrong message to the team. Don't want to get too hung up on this one. It'll probably happen in the off season. Should have happened now.
The reason it might not, well, at least him to New Jersey might not happen, is because we already talked about Allmark. And then there's Saros. You say Saros out there. We've talked a lot about the Nashville situation in the past, lots of past episodes, including like a deep dive on the Predators. But basically, to sum it up, is Saros has 1 year left on his contract. Askarov is ready to take the full-time role. Nashville has to make a decision this offseason what they want to do long-term, because they either need to get him locked up or move on and give Askarov the net and get value for Saros. So I think where really the fact the Flames didn't get it done is now they open the door for New Jersey to potentially go elsewhere and get a deal that they like better done.
Yeah, I 100% agree there. They supposedly had a pretty solid deal on the table for Markstrom, and yeah, he was the top goalie available. I guess Ullmark was sort of thrown in there, but it seemed like that was a very specific return that was needed. Yeah, it's kind of what happens. Some people say, well, wait till the off season, more teams will be able to trade for whichever player, but there's also going to be more players available for teams to choose. So yeah, that'll be an interesting one. It's possible they lost a little bit of leverage because of that.
I mean, so looking ahead to the offseason briefly, that's kind of what this episode is about. Yeah. Think about teams real quickly that could be interested in acquiring a goalie. The Oilers, maybe. I mean, if Stuart Skinner leads them on a deep playoff run, I'm not confident that the Oilers will be. Arizona, I have no confidence. If they're still the Arizona Coyotes, I have no confidence that they would try and do anything. I think they become interesting if maybe they end up in with new ownership. Maybe they, because they probably need a goalie. Mm-hmm. Colorado, maybe. But Georgiev has been really good, and Justin Anon has been really good. I mean, you got other teams that might need a goalie this offseason. Chicago, but they're probably not doing it.
Going to throw out Detroit.
Potentially.
I'm going to throw out Philadelphia.
Probably, yep.
If there is a goalie that can be a long-term option, I could see them pairing that goalie with Erson.
Yep. Potentially, yep.
And that's probably it. I would wonder about Toronto.
Potentially, yep.
This could be an interesting offseason for Toronto if they look to shake things up at all with the name Marner. We'll see. But they're kind of on the outside looking in, but paying attention to the goalie market, I would think. So, yeah, there's going to be more teams looking for a goalie, but there will also be most likely a bigger supply of starting caliber goalies.
Maybe Ottawa, maybe Seattle, maybe Columbus.
Yeah.
I'm not confident. Like those are all teams with kind of goalies on big money contracts that like they would have to and another team that might put a goalie into the market, Florida Panthers, potentially. With Bobrovsky.
I have another team looking for one, Carolina.
Potentially, depending on how they feel on Kochetkov.
Yep.
So there could be fits, but I think the potentially and the maybes outweigh the definite, because a lot of those teams that we just kind of said potentially maybe would be looking for more of a 1A, 1B type of option than like a top-end starter. And, oh, by the way, John Gibson might be available too.
Yep, that's another one.
Bobrovsky might be available. I'm not going to say that for sure, but there's a potential. Like, so not getting that deal done, you don't want to be kind of left without the seat when the music stops. So basically, Calgary doesn't want to be left without a trade partner when the music stops, because it's, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it could happen, or any of these teams, it really could happen with.
And quite honestly, if Saros is made available in the offseason, if you're a team needing a long-term goalie, it's Saros over Markstrom.
Absolutely.
So, and it's Ullmark over Markstrom.
Probably. I wouldn't, because you need to give Ullmark the new con.
Well, you need to give Saros one, too.
Well, one, yeah. Yeah.
Ullmark's right up there.
I guess I agree. Yeah, that's fair.
Where Markstrom, you're trading for a 30...
Four-year-old.
34, maybe 35 by then. I'm not sure his birthday, but yeah, it could, it might not be as easy to make happen for Calgary as it would have been to do the New Jersey deal.
So we hit on quickly, Pierre-Luc Dubois' name became thrown out there again. I don't know to what extent he was really available. The Kings definitely are going to have some moves to be made. I mean, I think that's a bigger episode, so I don't know if we'll necessarily go too far down that rabbit hole, but they need a goalie for sure. They have players that they could use as trade assets for sure.
Yeah, like a Kaliev.
Kaliev, potentially Jordan Spence if they bring back a Matt Roy, potentially. Brant Clark as well, depending on, I'm not saying
that's one I think they have to keep, but
depending on how moves shake out, like they have too many right shot defensemen to fill out their lineup with, so someone's probably going to be available there. One name that seemed to be popular around the trade deadline, and then a report, I think it was from a Blues reporter, I forget his first name. Is it Jim Rutherford who covers the Blues? I know Jim Rutherford's the GM of Vancouver, so I always get this.
Jeremy Rutherford.
That sounds more correct. I think it was him who tweeted something along the lines of, it was the fact that Buchnevich's name was on a lot of trade boards was surprising because St. Louis really intends to keep him. Something along those lines. So Buchnevich seemed to be available. Like, the insiders don't get this information from nowhere. At least we don't think they do. So he could have been out there, ultimately stays in St. Louis, and now seems more likely a deal will get done. And I'm not 100% who tweeted that. So I thought I saw it on Twitter, but I can't remember who or the credibility of that. So Buchnevich seemed to be available, but maybe wasn't available. That's kind of an odd situation there.
Yeah, I don't. St. Louis really needs to decide like what their plan is. They're kind of an in the middle team right now. I like a lot of the forwards on that team, Buchnevich included. It's the defense that I think gives a lot of people pause, and I guess sort of the goaltending situation. Depending on when you decide to look, Binnington's either terrible or he's one of the best goalies in hockey. It just depends on the month, probably. There is a foundation there that I think can be worked with. It's just kind of moving out a piece or two and bringing in the correct ones. Buchnevich, I think that's a good long-term fit there. It's just that might be the easiest piece to move out and get quality assets for. So I'm not sure exactly the right thing to do for St. Louis. That is probably another episode that's a little more in-depth, but it does seem like that could go either way.
Another scoring winger who seems a slightly more likely to be moved this offseason, Frank Vetrano. His name, again, was around the trade deadline, potentially being moved. Ultimately stays in Anaheim. He seems like a popular, like he's having a career year in Anaheim. Really, he was good at the end with the Rangers, too, and they just couldn't afford him. So he's really come on kind of a little bit later in his career. He's under a very reasonable contract for another year. So a team looking to add some scoring up front would be very wise to inquire on him. And I mean, he could resign in Anaheim long term, but I don't necessarily see that happening given they're still pretty far in. It seems like they're going to have some time before they're competing.
So he feels almost like, I would wonder if that's a draft day move where one of the contending teams decides, okay, yeah, we'll throw a first to Anaheim. 3.65 is the AAV for him. That feels like a Vegas type of move to bring in a cheap winger who's very good, but which they actually do still have their 2024 first round pick. So never say never, I guess. But yeah, that doesn't feel like a long-term fit with Anaheim, Vetrano. Just not quite the right stage. And I think I would think he, assuming next year he has another pretty solid season, he'll get paid pretty well in his next contract. I don't know if Anaheim would quite be ready to do that or not. I would like to see a contender really acquire him in the offseason.
You know who should have acquired him at the deadline? Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah.
That would have been the Jake Guentzel. Like, that would have made so much sense.
So that's kind of the, we talked previously in the recap, that would have been the avenue of whatever assets are coming in for Guentzel, they're going right back out for a good roster player. Vetrano would have been perfect as far as put him on the wing with Crosby, and he's cheap next year too. That's exactly what they should have done. Still could in theory, but
I want to go off script real briefly here. We recently released a trade deadline recap episode, and you talked about the Sharks with having retained salary on three guys and still potentially moving Logan Couture. Probably is not a super realistic offseason move given they're not going to be able to retain. Let me throw a wild idea out.
Okay.
I don't think the player with the no movement clause allows this to happen. But what if you could almost do a dollar in for dollar out type of player and fit another team's potential need? Jeff Skinner for Logan Couture.
That would be very interesting, but unless Skinner is willing to kind of go to the nicer weather, which I suppose he might be. I don't know if I see that happening. It would be an interesting look at it without the trade clause involved. That would be a very interesting swap, but I don't know. If I'm Skinner, I have no interest in that.
I mean, that was my big if. I'm not sure that the player with the no movement clause accepts that.
Yeah.
I don't know if I would, especially considering Skinner has never played in the playoffs to this point in his career, and it seems like it will be yet another year without him being in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But there was a little there. I think Kevin Adams even said it. I saw a couple Buffalo reporters talking about how the Sabres were potentially looking to add a veteran type of center.
Yep.
I mean, could like the
so just looking at Couture as a player, if he was brought in and he was the 3C for Buffalo, yeah, probably works. Contract wise, not great, but if it was a swap, it's much more doable. Could potentially make sense, but yeah. That trade clause is what would stand in.
I guess I'll get back to our script now.
Yeah,
so,
yep.
But this is an off-season type of move episode, and that had been in my head for a little while, and I don't know, again, probably not happening, but it's one of those absurd trades you write, like someone writes about trades that should happen but won't happen. That's a trade that maybe should happen but won't happen.
And honestly, that might, from a player-to-player comparison, I would wonder if there would be a little more coming back to Buffalo. Because Couture hasn't quite been the same player and has had injury issues. Where Skinner's still a decent scorer. I don't know. I'm not even sure it's worth going down that rabbit hole because of that trade clause. All right, who's next?
So back to our regularly scheduled script here. Jacob Chychrun, Eric Brandstrom were names, I think, percolating a little bit from Ottawa. I think I saw both names. Chychrun probably a little bit more because, of course, he's probably the better quality asset. But I think I did see Brandstrom, or maybe I imagined Brandstrom because I had him on like my trade big board or something. Yeah. But I think one of those two guys, I mean, Ottawa's going to have to shake things up at some point, which is absolutely hilarious. But yeah, they're, one of those guys is one or maybe even both are moved this summer.
Yeah, so I think the big thing there is I saw supposedly some people think Brandstrom might not even get a qualifying offer from Ottawa.
That would be absurd asset management.
I 100% agree because I think he's actually a pretty good player. So there's that. That was out there. Chychrun is eventually going to need to get paid again. I think it's Ottawa deciding between Shabbat and Sanderson already signed to bigger deals. Is Chychrun the guy you want? It hasn't quite gone as well as I think they would have hoped for him.
I'm not sure really anything in Ottawa has gone as well as they really hoped this year.
But is that when you sign the player to a big contract extension or do you flip them? I'm not sure what the right answer is because nothing's gone as planned. It would be interesting, though, and I think there was enough smoke even this deadline that it was that classic, as you mentioned at the beginning, just setting it up for the offseason most likely.
So let's end with two kind of similar names here that one of them I'm not surprised didn't get traded. The other I think I'm a little bit more surprised is still with their team. So Scott Laughton has been a name going back to last offseason that's supposedly been available and supposedly was going to fetch the Flyers a first-round pick. I think someone's been just feeding information to drive up the value of him because I would never give up a first-round pick for Scott Laughton.
Neither would I. Especially this year.
Especially this year with how he's playing. But also you look at some of the value at the deadline and – the only trade that really netted, like the only player that netted a first round that's comparable would be Henrik, and Edmonton also got Carrick in that, and I think Henrik's a much better player anyways than Laughton, but like that's the closest comparison that I think you can get at the deadline. So there's no way Philadelphia was getting a first round pick for Laughton. Nick Dowd, on the other hand, is a little bit more of a under the radar, like he's what I think fans think Laughton is.
Exactly. Yep.
So maybe that. So if Laughton could go for a first, Nick Dowd should go for a first.
Yeah, and the other thing, this is another player who I would love to see a contender go and get. So the thing with Dowd is he's under the radar because he's a bottom six center. Isn't going to put up really a crazy amount of points, but it's the defensive value or impact that he brings. And his contract, Dowd is at $1.3 million through next season. That is very, very good value for the level of play that he brings. And like you said, I 100% agree. what everyone thinks Scott Laughton is, Dowd is actually that player. I think Laughton might have a slightly higher offensive ceiling, but I think people view Laughton as a like shutdown center, and he hasn't been that. That's what Dowd is a shutdown center.
So maybe why this deal didn't take place is you kind of have to slot trades relative to other similar players value wise. So not a direct comparison, but Jakob Trenin only went for a third round pick. So I mean, a team would probably prefer Dowd and should fetch a little bit more, but is Dowd under contract for one more year basically that much more valuable than Trenin? I'm not sure a team was getting there at the deadline.
So it could mean like a second was offered.
Correct. And
probably
that might not be
a first was.
And that's probably not enough for Washington because they don't have to do it because he's under contract. So
though some teams do things when they don't have to do them, just to do them for some reason. So
well, yeah. Or don't retain salary when they should. Arizona.
Or retain salary when they shouldn't.
San Jose. So anyways, there were some spicy rumors. We were hoping to see a few, like the trade week was pretty good. It was, but some of the names that were floated at one point or another could have made it a lot more fun. And I think the goalies are the names to point to, but just historically goalies traded midseason just doesn't go as well. Like it doesn't go as well. So the fact that none of those end up materializing also isn't shocking. You just don't trade number one goalies during the season and have it work out. So
I think
that's kind of our forward looking. We'll maybe do some deeper dives on a couple of those situations in the future. But appreciate you listening to this episode of the Max Term Podcast, available on pretty much every single major podcast platform. Content's posted at AFP Analytics on Twitter. And with that, we'll talk to you next time.